Isn't that awesome? The Holy Spirit enables us and is the conduit of God's grace through all of these promises of our position in Jesus Christ, of those treasures that are in heaven in which they are activated, and they strengthen us with might by His Spirit. Where? In the inner man. The spiritual man. The inner person. So the inner person, the inner man, is strengthened to live in a supernatural way, the Christian life. And that's those are the promises of God, by the power of God, through the sovereignty of God, to work in His people according to His plan and His purpose. That's what He longs and desires for His people. That's why He saved us, so that we might know Him in that way. And really what we're talking about here is intimacy of life and worship. The divine strength, as it would be, that works within us. God's Spirit in the inner man, quickening us with strength. You have everything that you need. God will supply. He will make what is necessary for you to live and walk your Christian life and fulfill the purpose that He created you for. He didn't leave off anything with you. You're not lacking in Jesus Christ. He knows your intellectual capacity. He knows your genetic capabilities. He planned it. He designed it. And He sent His Holy Spirit to quicken you and to give to you gifts, spiritual gifts, which would enable you to fulfill the purpose that He gave for your life. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He before ordained that you should walk in them. Before He planned it. Before He provided for it. Before He thought out every detail of your life. And you're not lacking anything. So banish the evil one. Let him know that you're not listening anymore. That Christ is sufficient. That the Holy Spirit that God has given is sufficient to enable you to do what God has called you to do. And knock off, blow off the doldrums. Put aside that which would hinder your pursuit, your hot pursuit of those things which are holy, which God set before His people. Notice what else it says here. That ye may dwell or inhabit, that Christ may inhabit you through faith in your heart. Isn't that awesome? Christ inhabits us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. This morning, Jesus Christ, through the indwelling Holy Spirit, indwells His people. We enjoy His presence. We enjoy the intimacy of personal relationship with Almighty God. We enjoy, and I love the word. It says, this word means to have a settled dwelling. You know, because there is a word in the Greek that means temporary sojourn. But this word means settled dwelling. And so what we're talking about here is not regeneration. We're talking about believers experiencing the reality of the presence of Jesus Christ in their heart, in the inner person, in the inner being. The reality of the Christian life has to do with the intimate relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Christ said? This is eternal life, to know Thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. It's intimate, personal relationship with God. That's what He's always intended for those that He created, for His creature, those that were created in the image of God. He had intended for us to know His divine strength, to experience the reality of Jesus. Notice what I love. I've always loved this passage in 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world by lust. Promises. God's Word has been given to us. Jesus said, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be granted unto you. This is the context. The context is that all things are working together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purposes, the bad and the good. You know what's wrong with the Christian church today? Is that we don't understand that glory comes through suffering. We don't understand that Christ said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. We don't understand the value and the treasure that God has given to us, that we can stand before the world that is at enmity with God and say, that's not the way to go. This is the truth. This is the pursuit. This is God. This is the things that are of value. This is the things that are eternal. These are the things that matter when all perishes and all goes away as we know it. And the temporal things that you pursue after are meaningless apart from these precious and magnificent promises that God has given to us that enables us, not because we become gods, we're not gods, but because the Holy Spirit, we become partakers of His divine nature, and that divine power is at work within us. That's an awesome privilege. And if we understand it, then we begin to grasp the beauty of the glory of God and pursue it. And once we start that pursuit, once we see that value, once we see the magnificence of the beauty of Jesus Christ, we'll never go back. You'll never turn back. It's eternal life. And it's great and it's treasure. Proverbs 4:23 says that we're to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You realize that the heart can be slow and dull and lose. You can lose heart. You can experience unbelief in the heart. You can go astray in the heart. And these are just terms in Scripture. You can be troubled of heart. You can experience grief of heart. You can experience sorrow-filled hearts. You can have secrets in your heart. You can have the issues which involve evil that come out of the heart. But out of the heart is a control center of the desires, of the affection of man. And so the first great commandment begins with, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart. You love Him with your affection. You love God. And when your affections are placed on God, then there's a hot pursuit of valuable things, eternal things. Things that are necessary for us. And we put aside all the junk. And we move into chapters 4, 5, and 6. And the practical aspects of living the Christian life. Soaring with wings like eagles. Because all we want is to be near Him. To be like Him. And He transforms us. His Word transforms us. The heart is, it responds to truth. Heart is where the response to truth is. It expresses worship. This morning, if we worship God, if we truly worship Him, it had to come out of the heart. It had to come out of our true affection for God. And God wants that from us. He wants for you to love Him. He wants for you to grasp these things, the incomprehensible things. The heart motivates obedience in our Christian life. It is the instrument of our affection to God. It expresses sincerity and gladness. Out of the heart comes, the Scripture says, the issues of life. Who you are. If Christ is there, if there's reality there, it issues out of your heart and into your life, into the words that you speak and the things that you do. It's inevitable. And the more that you're filled with God, the more that you're filled with Jesus Christ. Now, we were baptized in Christ. And we have this relationship with the Holy Spirit, because when we were Spirit baptized into Christ Jesus, we have the eternal new creature, and He's there. But the Scripture says that we're to be continuously filled. And it's a process. It's a work in process. There's a growth in it. There's a fullness that we can know and enjoy and that we should pursue. So come to know Christ. I'm just caught with the idea there from John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, the people ask, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? There's no working the works of God apart from this relationship, apart from this divine strength that comes in God or in Christ through His Holy Spirit to His people. The divine strength. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong spot there. Let me get back. The divine strength. There we go. Found the right spot. The divine strength that is in God and in Christ Jesus. There's no working the works of God. But he said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth. Okay? Let's look at incomprehensible love. Look at verse 17. And so he prays that Christ might dwell in your heart. It's important to see that these things are connected. He prays that he bows his knee to the Father in order that he might grant to you this divine strength. And that divine strength simply means the presence of Christ. Christ living in your heart. The reality of that. Now he prays for that there might be, that we might experience and comprehend, I love this, the way it's stated in Scripture, that we might be able to comprehend the incomprehensible love. That's basically what he's saying here. Comprehend incomprehensible love. I'm telling you that we'll never plunge the depths of it. We'll never reach the heights of it. We'll never see the length or the width. We'll never reach the full capacity to understand what God did through Christ Jesus. But look in verse 17. He says, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now that, brothers and sisters in Christ, is what he's talking about in our position in Jesus Christ. It's what he taught to us in chapters 1 and 2, that there in Christ Jesus we have all of these treasures, and if we're rooted and grounded in love, understanding the reconciliation that's taken place between God and us because of what Jesus Christ did, then we're rooted and grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're rooted and grounded in love. And he prays that they might, and this, because like the Greek language, you know, sometimes these phrases get connected with one side or the other, but it's clear to me that these participles are connected with this verb, that you may be able. So they are to be rooted and grounded in love, that they may be able to comprehend. It's out of the position that we have in Christ that we grow in fruitfulness in our position. So it's from root to fruit. From root, from our position in Christ, from a comprehension spiritually of the realities of what Christ has done, that the reality of bearing fruit and living the fullness of the Christian life takes place and unfolds. See what I'm saying? It's essential that we understand our position, that we go back to the fundamentals, that we know who we are in Christ Jesus, that we know that, you know what? God chose me before the foundation of the world. I can't grasp and comprehend the full meaning of it, but God's Word says it. It's been revealed. And that's what Paul, in the revelation of the mystery of that reality and truth in Christ, is making it known to these believers, that they would be rooted and grounded. Notice it says, that you may be fully able to understand or comprehend. This word, with all the saints, this word is the idea of laying hold of or seizing or attaining it. Now, I believe it's the same thing that we were talking about earlier. You know, sometimes when you're there and you're praying, God, I know that I should forgive this person. I know what your word says, and I know it up here, but it's not here. And so we go in prayer and we say, God, help me. You know, this is your word. This is what I need to do. But then there's a transformation that takes place when the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and we abide in Him and His Word abides in us. And then we ask what we will. And God does supernaturally what we in the flesh cannot do. We grasp it. We attain the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ? And it says, and so, to know the love of Christ, which passes or surpasses all knowledge. You see, that's incomprehensible love. Love which can't be comprehended is comprehended. Love which God's Spirit enables us, even though we don't understand the Christian life, why it's out of death that life occurs. We don't understand that it's out of the cross that the resurrection takes place. We don't understand that it's through trouble that the person becomes chiseled away and molded into something that is beautiful, that has has depth and beauty. And you know, we look on it and we say, it doesn't make sense. From the human perspective, we cannot comprehend it. And yet, the reality of God's Word is that embracing those truths are where the reality of the Christian life is. Incomprehensible love. Do you know the love of Christ this morning? Are you enfolded in the arms of His loving kindness? And is it out of that relationship that your Christian life is flowing? Do you sit down and to read the Bible and is it dry? Is it meaningless to you at times? And it's like God is not there and your prayers bounce off the top of the ceiling if they get that far. And it's just like, where is God and where is the relationship and where is the reality? It's all there. But notice it says it is through faith in Christ Jesus. It is through faith that He lives and dwells in our heart. The reality comes because we believe His Word. The reality comes in a spiritual and incomprehensible way, comprehended by those who step out in faith and say, God, Your Word says this, and I believe You. God, You have said that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through Him, and I'm coming to You through Him to have access, to address You, to speak with You, to read Your Bible and hear Your Word, and to know the fullness of the relationship that You intend for us. But He intends for us abundant life. Look there in verses 19, it says, in order that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Man, that's a great prayer. I want to pray it for you. I want to pray that God would fill you with all His fullness. I think that's a goal. That's something that we ought to set before us. I think the Apostle Paul said, I press on for the mark of God's high calling in Christ Jesus. You know, we can keep plunging those depths, but we'll never comprehend fully the incomprehensible love of God and what He's done for us. But I want to think about it. I want to meditate on the fact that God, in eternity past, called me and He chose me before the foundation of the world. How do you understand that? God looked down and He saw you and He chose you. He chose me. That's astounding. That's an amazing thing. And I want to think about it. I want to plunge the depths as much as I can. And realize that in that position in Jesus Christ, He's given to me life and given to me an opportunity to walk with Him in a very special way. I want to give you a few definitions here because I believe that if we take the context of what Paul is saying, that Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also shall love one another. By this shall all men know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another. Now this passage in what Jesus is saying in the new covenant and what Paul is dealing with here contextually, it all meets. Because the Jews had rejected the Gentiles, and these awful things that happened to Paul, and I believe that these Ephesian believers could have taken offense at some of the Jewish believers, and there could be a rift in the church body. And Paul's saying, and we're not going to have a rift here, isn't he? He's saying, God has made Jews and Gentiles one in their access. We're one together in Christ Jesus, and so we're to have unity, and this is the mystery of the body. And all of those things are going to work out. We talked about that last week in regard to the relationship of God to the nation of Israel. But the pursuit is that God, that people might know that we're Christ's disciples. And, okay, as we look at spiritual understanding, because basically if we were to sum up what Paul is praying for here, he's praying for spiritual understanding for these people, that they'll comprehend. And this Jonathan Edwards said, a heartfelt sense of the supreme beauty and sweetness of God's holiness, the moral perfection of divine things, and the discernment and knowledge that flows from this vital and living sense. Spiritual understanding is rooted in the heart. When the heart senses what the mind understands, we do not merely look at something from the outside in, but we experience it from deep within our being as well. Jonathan Edwards wrote a book called Religious Affections. Thank you. The book's called Religious Affections. And in it he argues for giving our affection to God, knowing that the heart is the thing that God wants from us. For out of it come our desires. The heart controls the desires. What you desire, your heart tells on you. What you pursue in life, the values that you have, your heart tells on you. Because those desires flow from that control center, the heart, and the life, the inner being of the person. And that's the thing that we need to address as God's people. True religion is the love of divine things. True religion is the love of divine things. True faith mostly depends upon having the emotions of God and loving the things He loves. If there would be one thing that we'd walk away with this morning, it would be a deeper desire to love the things that God loves. If we do that, if we make that our pursuit, if it's the thing that we value the most, we'll see great and mighty and wonderful and awesome things in the Christian life. One other thing about spiritual conviction, because as a pastor, you know, sometimes you get all mixed up, and just speaking to those of you that God is moving into areas of ministry, spiritual conviction does not come by programs or by presentation of how well something is spoken. Spiritual conviction comes from God at work in God's people. And spiritual conviction comes from spiritual understanding, and spiritual understanding comes from spiritual enlightenment. And spiritual enlightenment is a direct spiritual perception of God's glory and excellence. We need to see God. We need to see His beauty. We need to see the majesty of Christ. And as we do, it will transform us. The glory of Christ transforms God's people. And that's the thing that we need and need to see most of all. Just in closing here, Paul ends with a praise, and I've dealt with this passage before. I'd like to spend some time with it, but I'll move on. But it says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is a transition into the next section of this book, but what Paul is speaking of here is the glorious capability of God. I want you to think about it for just a moment. He is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you ask or think. You set the mark. How high can you think that God is able and capable of taking care of your life or some challenge that sets before you or just life in general? How high can you set that mark? And what I want to tell you is that God's Word is saying that He is able to exceed that. He's able to exceed the mark. He's able to do exceeding and abundantly above wherever you set that mark. Okay, so we want to set the mark high, don't we? As God's people, don't we want to say, what can God do? What will God do? What is He capable of doing through God's people? Well, there's no limit. You know, and our greatest tragedy at the Bema Seat of Christ Jesus will be the reality that we didn't believe and we didn't set the mark high enough. We just didn't set it as high as it should have been. And it's a tragedy. It's a great tragedy, I believe, that every single believer will experience, because there's no limit with Him. With God, all things are possible. We're only limited by our faith in Him. All we need to know is what is obedience to Him. And take the step. Take the plunge. Take the plunge as God's people. It's an awesome privilege that we have. The glorious capability of our Almighty God. And notice that it says, it's in working power beyond all of that which we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. That Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead works within us. He raised Him out of the grave. What can He not do? What can that Spirit not handle in your life? What is it? You tell me. Do we believe Him? Do we believe His Word? Will we by faith lay hold of that which God has given to us? If we do, there are wonderful treasures, wonderful things to glory in. And the glory is manifested, notice that it says, in the church. It's God's choice. He chose this local church, this church body. He ordained the way that the local church is structured. He ordained that His grace, that the Holy Spirit would pull a group of people together with different types of spiritual gifts to complete His purposes, because He thought it all out. He thought out the reason why you were here in San Marcos, why Grace Bible Church is placed right here in Country Estates. And He has a plan for it all, and it involves spiritual gifts working in the church, put together in such a way that God's purposes are being completed. That's the reality. That's what God's Word teaches us. It's what it says. It's what Paul prays for. And it's what we should latch hold of as God's people. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, may we attain. May we just know. Would You grant to us to be strengthened with power through Your Spirit and inner man, that Christ might dwell in our heart through faith, that we might be rooted and grounded in Your love and able to comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know and perceive the incomprehensible love of Christ and be filled with all the fullness that comes in You and in Christ Jesus. For You have no limits. We're only limited, Lord, by our lack of faith. May we reach and may we strive and may we hunger for that divine glory which You have intended for us as Your people. Lord, there may be someone here this morning that's never placed their trust in Jesus Christ. And how tragic it would be to walk through life and miss the beauty of the riches that are in Christ Jesus. I pray that that heart would turn to You, and in the quietness, the moments that are here, that they would call upon Jesus Christ. For He is able to forgive our sins. He's able to provide complete cleansing and forgiveness of any sin that would keep us away from You, and grant to us access and address before the throne of God in Your very presence. And so we pray that that might be granted to anyone without Christ this morning. We ask, Lord, that You would go with us now, and that we might walk in a manner worthy of You, and that we would set our sights upon those things which are exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.